Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Vanessa Dunhut-Garmo here, host of Epiphany, filling in for Teresa Tomeo on this Monday morning, November 18th. Of course, this is a co-collaboration, co-production with EWTN. And if you have not signed up for the EWTN newsletter, I really encourage you to do so. I love getting their newsletters. And they just shared with us an Advent book that they have. Advent and Christmas are times to reflect on all that the Lord has given us and to grow closer to Him. That's why that EWTN invites us to sign up for Father Joseph Mary Wolfe's 2024 Advent and Christmas Reflections, which I did, by the way. And when you do, they'll send you a free weekly email series that starts on the first Sunday of Advent and continues through the Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord. My last name in Aramaic is the Epiphany, and my show is Epiphany on Ave Maria Radio. It's really when the Lord shines truth on our life, those, you know, epiphany moments that I love talking about. So in each of the reflections, Father Joseph gives an example of someone who grew closer to the Lord and experienced a personal advent that changed his or her life. That kind of reminds me of personal epiphany moments that I encourage our listeners and guests who come on Epiphany to share with us, and to really pay attention to those aha moments in our life where the Lord is really speaking to us. So it is our prayer, that EWTN's prayer, that these reflections will prepare all of us for the celebration of the Lord's Nativity. So I really encourage you to sign up for EWTN's newsletter and really think about those Advent moments, or those epiphany moments that I like to call them as well, where the Lord is really moving you, helping you grow in your faith, and helping you see truth. If we really want the blinders to be taken off of our eyes to see what's going on in the world, Teresa and I talk about this all the time, we have to know truth in Christ first. And it's something that I talk with my clients about in my leadership development coaching, is helping them have those epiphany moments. And when I get to do Catholic leadership development coaching, I get to bring scripture into the conversation, which I love more than anything. And that really helps them see truth. Now, sometimes I have clients who are not Catholic focused, and it's secular clients in corporate America. That's fine, but I still invoke the Holy Spirit in the work that I do. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me as a coach when I'm working with all my clients, whether they want Catholic leadership development or just leadership development in general. And, you know, and so we look at, there's certain principles of leadership development and tips in leadership development. And, you know, as a Catholic leadership development coach, I blend traditional leadership principles with spiritual guidance. And I love doing that more than anything. And I have tips that I've shared on X, that I'm sharing every day on X, on embracing that your leadership skills, developing those leadership skills as a Catholic. So you can follow me on X as well to find those. We have a guest joining us here. It's a very packed hour here on this National Hour of Catholic Connection. Father Ambrose Little will be joining us, spokesperson for Aquinas 101. We'll be talking with him about learning the Catholic faith in the short, engaging videos rooted in the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas. So we'll be talking with Father Ambrose Little today. Melissa Henson will be joining us, Vice President and Parents Television and Media Council. We'll be talking with her about social media harms threatening children and how Congress needs to pass online child protection bills. And then finally, it is a Monday, and that means Gail Buckley-Berenger with the Catholic Scripture Study International will be talking with us about the Bible verse of the week. And this is so important on reflecting. Maybe take this Bible verse of the week that is shared every Monday here and just really reflect on it every single day throughout the week. And maybe take a Lectio Divina type of approach to prayer on that Bible verse. And through reading scripture, through meditating on scripture, we can have these epiphany moments, these aha moments where the Lord is trying to tell us something. The Lord is speaking to our heart and leading us in the direction He wants us to go. It's those aha moments where the Lord really shines truth on our life. And we as leaders, we all have leadership skills within us. We just need to learn to develop them. And I provide assessments as a coach to help people know what their natural talents are, where their strengths lie, maybe where the weaknesses are, and helping them become the best version of themselves, finding their purpose that God has for them. We're all made in the likeness and image of God. And he has a unique purpose for each and every one of us. And he's given us this ability to develop our leadership skills through our natural talents. And you don't have to lead a huge company. Maybe you are leading a Fortune 500 company or a Fortune 100 company. You have thousands of people underneath you. Or maybe you're leading a small team of five people. Maybe you're a leader in your own home. Maybe you're a leader in a community group, a church group. But we all should be developing these leadership skills that are naturally in us because we're made in the likeness and image of God. And we can learn how to communicate and lead through Christ. And so as leaders, when I help clients develop those leadership skills and we look at it from a Catholic perspective, there are 10 tips that I share. One is embrace servant leadership. Lead with a heart of a servant. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So focus on the well-being and growth of your team members. Focus on them. Seek wisdom and prayer. Regular prayer can provide clarity and strength in your decision-making process. And I'm sharing these tips on X, by the way. You can find a lot of my communication and leadership tips on X or on my LinkedIn platform. Practice humility. Recognize your limitations and be open to feedback. Humility fosters respect and trust. Live with integrity. Let your actions align with your values and principles, demonstrating honesty and ethical behaviors. Cultivate a culture of compassion. Show empathy and understanding towards others, creating a supportive and nurturing environment. I just wrote an ebook, Conversations That Create the Culture, 14 tips, insights that leaders gain from a communication audit. I audit organizations and how they communicate to see if they've cultivated a culture of compassion. Or is there chaos in their culture? Is there a high turnover employees? Because how people communicate in the workplace really determine the culture in which you work. Is there a lot of water cooler kibitzing, a lot of gossiping? Is there a lot of misinformation? Is there a lack of transparency? I mean, this is really important to understand your culture as you audit how people communicate. And so I have, that's on my communications evangelist, I mean, I'm sorry, Epiphany Communications website that you can find that ebook I just penned on Conversations That Create the Culture. Pursue continuous learning. Embrace lifelong learning to grow in your faith and leadership skills. We should be reading scripture. We should be reading the EWTN newsletter. We should be watching EWTN and listening to Catholic radio. This is how we grow in our faith, to become better Catholic leaders. And I'm not talking about leading just in ministry. In the secular world, you could bring your faith to work with you. I do Faith at Work Fridays on my own program, Epiphany, to talk to people. How do they bring their faith to work with them every day? So learn, continuation of your learning is so important. That's why I do professional development as a coach. Balance work and spiritual life. Ensure you have a healthy balance between your professional responsibilities and your spiritual well-being. Model forgiveness. Lead by example in offering seeking forgiveness to promoting a culture of reconciliation. Encourage community and collaboration. I love connecting, communicating, and collaborating. Foster a sense of community within your teams. Encourage collaboration and mutual support. And finally, reflect on your mission. Don't just write a mission and vision statement and don't reflect on it. Are they reflective of your core values, ensuring they guide you in your leadership journey? These are just some of the tips I share as a Catholic leadership development coach. It is 9 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Dent-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio, and now it's time for the news. We're going to look at the forecast around the country. Just 56 degrees right here in my hometown of Detroit and cloudy skies. In Cincinnati, 63 and cloudy. St. Louis, 64, cloudy. Cloudy in Memphis, partly cloudy. Sun is peeking through with a high of 73 degrees. And we look at Jacksonville, Florida, high of 75. Sun is shining a little bit there. In Tampa, it's partly cloudy, 82, 79, and cloudy in Miami. And then we look on the east side, Washington, a high of 61. And cloudy skies, New York, 65. Boston, 63. And sunny skies, Buffalo, New York, 52 today. And we look on the West Coast, San Francisco, high of 57 degrees. Los Angeles, sunny and 68. Phoenix, Arizona, sunny and 70 degrees. Las Vegas is sunny and 61 degrees. El Paso, Texas is 59 degrees and rainy. And also rainy in Seattle, and only a high of 52 degrees there. Pope Francis says each act of compassion can become a sign of hope. That was his message during Sunday's Holy Mass on World Day of the Poor. The Pope said each of us can become a sign of the Lord's presence through acts of justice, solidarity, and charity. He aimed his closing remarks directly to governments and international organizations, saying, "Let us not forget the poor." A statue of the Virgin Mary and Child is back at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris after a spiritual candlelight processional. The statue was moved to a neighboring church more than 5 years ago after a devastating fire at the cathedral. Several hundred people sang hymns and prayed as the statue was returned to its rightful place on Friday. The return of the statue comes weeks after the bells in the Notre Dame rang for the first time in 5 years. Notre Dame Cathedral is scheduled to reopen on December 8th. As it is anticipated to have 14 to 15 million visitors annually. The wildfire that's been burning for more than a week now on the border of New York and New Jersey is 88% contained, but the fire has prompted evacuations, Scott Pringle reports.
Well, the Jennings Creek fire got over the containment line in Greenwood Lake over the weekend, and that prompted officials to ask families to evacuate from about 165 homes. Victoria is one of them.
Packed up just like the essentials, everything that we had in the safe, like important papers.
The Greenwood Lake Union Free School District remains closed because of the fire. Greenwood Lake Middle School is being used as a shelter. The fire has burned about 5,000 acres in the two states combined over the last 10 days. Rain is in the forecast for later in the week.
Multiple sources say President Biden has authorized Ukraine to strike Russia with U.S.-made long-range missiles. Reports are that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky didn't directly confirm the news in his nightly video address, but did mention media reports that claimed Ukraine has received permission to take appropriate action.
He said, "But blows are not inflicted with words. Such things are not announced. The rockets will speak for themselves."
Zelensky has been asking to use U.S.-supplied weapons to strike deep inside Russia for months. This latest development follows news that North Korea has sent thousands of soldiers to fight alongside Russian troops. President-elect Trump is confirming his plans for mass deportation once back in the White House. A post on Trump's Truth Social platform said the incoming Trump administration is reportedly prepared to declare a national emergency and use military assets for mass deportation programs. The president-elect made the border a central issue of his campaign. He repeatedly promised to launch the largest deportation program on his first day in office. Six people are wounded after a house party in Riverside, California turned violent. Mark Mayfield has more.
Police confirmed four people were shot and two others were stabbed late Saturday night. Investigators say it stemmed from a fight. One of the people who was stabbed is a suspected gunman. He was hospitalized but is expected to survive and is now in custody. As for the five victims, one is in critical condition. The other four are in stable condition.
A deadly E. coli outbreak linked to organic carrots is affecting 18 states. Here's Lisa Carton.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Sunday one death and 15 hospitalizations have been reported among the 39 confirmed cases nationwide. Several brands of bagged organic baby and whole carrots have been recalled by Grimway Farms. The carrots are no longer on store shelves, but the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is warning the public to check their homes as they may still have them. I'm Lisa Carton.
Mike Tyson says he has no regrets. The boxing legend took to social media after he was defeated by YouTube star Jake Paul in a highly anticipated boxing match on Friday. Tyson said this is one of those situations when you lost is still a win, adding he has no regrets about getting in the ring one last time. He's also revealed he's almost died during his health scare early this year, which originally delayed his fight against Paul. Tyson says he had 8 blood transfusions, lost 25 pounds in the hospital, and had to fight to get healthy again. Spirit Airlines says service will go on as normal as the budget carrier files for bankruptcy. Spirit announced this morning that it's reached a deal with the bondholders for $300 million in financing and hopes to exit bankruptcy in early 2025. The company has been struggling with losses and a failed merger attempt. SpaceX has completed another successful Falcon 9 rocket launch from the coast of Santa Barbara County. Daniel Martindale recaps.
Liftoff from Vandenberg Space Force Base happened on time at 9:47 Sunday night. The payload was 20 Starlink Internet satellites, including 13 with direct-to-cell capabilities. They are now in low Earth orbit. This was the 20th flight for the reusable first-stage rocket booster supporting the mission. I'm Daniel Martindale.
And today we dig deep and celebrate our inner royal, Bree Tennis, with details.
It's a pinkies up kind of day as we celebrate National Princess Day, brought to you by the movie makers behind the 1994 film The Swan Princess.
Beauty and glamour and breeding a match.
Princesses on parade.
The creators say this day is really to get you to watch their film, but you can also show princess qualities like being kind and being a good leader. You'll also probably have to brush up on your curtsy. Tiara, optional. I'm Bree Tennis.
I always tell my daughter, when it comes to leadership, always practice kindness and confidence. Be kind, because kindness comes from the heart with Christ, and be confident knowing you are a child of God. It is 60 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo. It's time to take a break, and when we come back, Father Ambrose Little will be joining us.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Unlock your free guide to the wisdom of St. Thomas Aquinas. What is Aquinas 101? Well, to talk with us about that is our next guest, Father Ambrose Little, spokesperson for Aquinas 101. Father, thank you so much for joining us here in Epiphany.
Thank you for having me this morning, Vanessa. I'm grateful.
So tell us, what is Aquinas 101?
So Aquinas 101 is a series of YouTube videos that the Thomistic Institute has put out to allow people to access the teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas in an easier format. And we've recently organized a free digital learning platform where people can go through our videos in an ordered sequence that will teach them, in a way a class might teach them, the topics of St. Thomas Aquinas.
And why is it so important for us to learn about St. Thomas Aquinas, especially today?
Well, for one thing, St. Thomas, from the earliest days, from around the time of his death until now, has been referred to as the common doctor. And by that, people meant in his time and in our time, that he is very clear and articulate about the teachings of the church. And if you at least understand the manner in which he speaks, you find out that he's also very direct and informative. And so, but that being said, it is difficult to understand how a medieval scholastic is presenting information. And so what we do is we break down that information for you to make it easier.
I love it. This to me would like prompt an almost like a informal gathering at a home to share these videos together and prompt a really good discussion.
Oh, that's great. We have at the Thomistic Institute, we have a number of student chapters at different universities, and they will do the same thing. They'll get together, they'll watch a video or two, and then they'll just talk about it and try to go deeper into the subject.
Yeah, you know what I love about this, too? So the Thomistic Institute exists to promote Catholic truth in our contemporary world by strengthening the intellectual formation of Christians at universities, in the church, and the wider public square. The thought of St. Thomas Aquinas, the universal doctor of the church, is our touchstone. And I think it's such timeliness right now, coming off a very kind of toxic election season where there's so much division in the world, and using Aquinas 101 to bring us back together as family and fellowship and friends to have fruitful conversations around St. Thomas Aquinas.
That's right. You know, and part of what makes St. Thomas timely is that he's timeless, right?
Yeah.
You know, when we focus too much on the temporal, right, yeah, we get focused on the here and the now and the worries of today.
Yes.
You know, as our Lord says in the parable of the seeds, right, you know, the kingdom of God can be choked by the worries of the world. But if we turn our eyes to the things of God, we can transcend the worries of today and consider the things of eternity. And St. Thomas helps us to have that gaze.
So when the videos were originally created, was the intention for it to be used mainly in academic institutions, or were you thinking about church groups and family groups and stuff like that, especially when we live in such a world of division?
Well, actually, our original target audience were the students of the Thomistic Institute, because
okay,
we, you know, as the Thomistic Institute, what we do is we send high-level lecturers to various college campuses, give talks on things in the Catholic tradition. But a lot of the students, when they would hear these lectures on St. Thomas, would be interested, but they also realized they were missing a basic understanding of St. Thomas. And so they asked us if there was a way that they could get a basic introduction to the thought of St. Thomas. And so that was the inspiration for this. But we put it online so that anybody could access it. It's actually surprised us, the different places in which it's being used. It's being used by college students. It's being used by high school students. It's being used by professors, college professors in the U.S. and across the world to kind of add to what they're talking about in class.
Well, that's wonderful. And I was just thinking of coming off this election season, how so many families are divided, and this is such a wonderful way to engage people again, to invite people maybe into your home and just say, hey, I'd love to have you over for some coffee and donuts or whatever it may be, and let's have a discussion. I'm watching these videos on St. Thomas Aquinas to bring back some unity into families and within friends.
Yeah, and one thing that you can do is, we had the first season is on just a walk through the Summa, but the second season, and we have a series of classes on this on the new website, is on faith and science. And so one of the perennial questions that people have these days are, how does my faith and how does science kind of come together? And so if you have a family who's disagreeing about political issues, that might be a way to kind of bring people back together. Like, how does the truth of science relate to the truth of the faith, and can we kind of discuss that?
I love that. We're talking with Father Ambrose Little, spokesperson for Aquinas 101. So it's accessible to anybody. How can people access these videos, Father?
Well, so the easiest way to access individual videos is through our new digital learning platform, which is aquinas101.thomisticinstitute.org. If you type it, though, into your search engine, it should pop up. It might bring you to our YouTube channel. But I would encourage you to kind of click on the call for action to sign up for our digital learning platform, because unlike YouTube, our learning platform will organize the videos in a particular order, whereas YouTube might suggest another video that has nothing to do with the particular one you just watched.
Mm-hmm. And so, Father, when these videos are produced, we know this, when we teach, we also learn. How has it helped you and others grow in your own faith journey when you're producing these videos, putting these things together, and learning more about St. Thomas Aquinas?
Oh, well, like you said, in order to teach, you do have to learn something. And in order to teach something in a very small amount of space, it takes a lot of time. One of our priests, Father Peter John Cameron, who's a wonderful preacher and a wonderful teacher of preaching, would remark that in order to preach a very short homily, you have to spend a lot of time preparing. And he would joke that if his homily was long, that he hadn't had enough time to prepare. And so something is similar going on with these videos. These videos are only 5 to 10 minutes long, and they often have to address very deep issues. And so in order to do that, all of us have to kind of delve more deeply into the topic to pick out the essential core issues, and then the way in which we're going to present it has to be accessible. And so it takes a lot of time to prepare these.
Father Ambrose Little with us, spokesperson for Aquinas 101. We're going to continue this conversation with him, but we got to take a break. Stay with us, everyone, here on Catholic Connection.
Can a church made up of sinners still be holy? St. Teresa, the Little Flower, says this about the Catholic Church. If the church was a body composed of different members, it could not lack the noblest of all. It must have a heart, and a heart burning with love. And I realized that this love alone was the true motive force which ennobled the other members of the church to act. If it ceased to function, the apostles would forget to preach the gospel. The martyrs would refuse to shed their blood. Love, in fact, is the vocation which includes all others. It is a universe of its own, comprising all time and space. It is eternal. The Catholic Catechism tells us that our divine Lord, who knew nothing of sin, came only to expiate sin. So the Church embraces sinners in order to save them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of 1 hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me, he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. The first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
We're talking with Father Ambrose Little here, spokesperson for Aquinas 101, these wonderful videos, Father, that are on the website. And you were telling me during the break that it's not just the videos, but there's a wealth of resources that are attached to these videos. Tell us, what else do people get here from the website?
So with each of our videos, we attach a couple of podcasts and also some readings that might be helpful for individuals. So the podcasts are coming from our Thomistic Institute chapters, where we send lectures to different college campuses to give lectures on a variety of topics. And so we post relevant ones with each video. And then we also choose selections both from the Summa, which the video is usually about, and then from other types of readings, whether they be handouts, whether they be articles that people might be able to click on and go deeper on the subject.
You know, it seems like it's designed to really facilitate a series, maybe at a church or a community organization, a faith-based organization, where they can use the website as the tool and they just facilitate it and facilitate the discussion.
Absolutely. It's made to be as easily, as user-friendly as possible, both for those who want to explore it individually and those who want to use it as an aid in their classes. In fact, we've been developing a sacrament series to help to be an assistance to parishes.
This is wonderful. So how can people listening, Father Ambrose, help in your efforts and the work that you're doing with the center? And give out the website again, but how can they support you?
Well, so the website is Aquinas101.ThomisticInstitute.org. And all of the content that we produce, we make sure that it's free for everybody, so there's no paywall. You do have to sign up for the website, but other than that, there's no paywall. But people can help us if they go to our website and there's a donate button on the homepage, and people can donate there. They can also contact us here at the Thomistic Institute just by going to thomisticinstitute.org and find us there as well. There are many ways in which they can give. And we do, in order to provide this content for free, we do depend upon the generosity of others, and we have many wonderful, generous benefactors that we pray for frequently.
Wow, that's beautiful. So if people could support your efforts here right from the website?
Absolutely.
Great. We're talking with Father Ambrose today. Who is St. Thomas Aquinas? They have all these series of wonderful videos and other resources right on the website. What about, we talked about universities, but would this be good for high school and maybe middle school too, curriculum?
It could be. It's going to be a little bit high level for middle school. And even for high school, it might be a bit high level. However, we are producing a series of kind of lesson plans for high school teachers if they want to use these as part of their class curriculums.
Wow!
We're developing an educator page for this, in which those lesson plans will be available.
Wow, that's wonderful. So it would prompt wonderful discussions as well using the actual videos. What did it entail putting this together? Because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, when you're taking big concepts, large information, and kind of narrowing it down and condensing it for the average person to consume and understand and make it useful, what was the process like?
Well, I mean, each individual has a different process, but generally the first process is we have to just find the right person, the right teacher, because it's helpful to find somebody who already has a good amount of knowledge on the subject that we want to talk about. But secondly, they have to write a script, because, you know, you don't just do one presentation. We often have to do several takes of the same video. And in order to make sure that there's consistency, we have to write a script. So, you know, to write a 5 to 10 minute script, it can take several hours or several days, depending upon the difficulty of the subject. Third, we also require our speakers to think about how can your topic be illustrated, because all of our videos are beautifully illustrated. But in order for that to work, we have to have images in our scripts that can be used by our illustrators to kind of help represent the subject. And so we've developed a library of images for our videos, but we're continuing to develop that, and that's something that we have to encourage our speakers to think about as they're writing their scripts.
So, Father Ambrose, is it designed, too, for this course to be, like, weekly, monthly? I mean, was there a structure to it if you're going to facilitate a course around these videos?
So we haven't envisioned how others might use them as courses. What we have done, though, is broken up our videos into little course series on the website. So people can we don't necessarily have suggestions, but we do have them organized into courses so that people can take like 6 videos or 21 videos or 8 videos and use them as a kind of course. But we've divided them up that way, not because we envision this is how people would use them in the classroom, but simply because this is the best way to organize the material along the lines that St. Thomas organized it in his Summa Theologiae.
How long did it take you guys to put this course together and produce these videos?
Oh, I mean, we've been doing this since 2019. What's
new
is the digital learning platform. So now that once we had a significant number of videos, we've decided to organize. And we put out a video on YouTube about once or twice a week, and with a break every now and then to give our poor production staff at least a week off here and there.
Yeah. I get that. We're talking with Father Ambrose Little here today, spokesperson for Aquinas 101. This is a wonderful digital learning platform designed to teach the Catholic faith through short, engaging videos on St. Thomas Aquinas. What else do you want to share with our listeners here on Catholic Connection, Father? What else do you want them to know?
We at the Thomistic Institute not only have the Aquinas 101 videos, but we also have a series of lectures at various campuses, 95 campuses throughout North America, the UK, and Ireland. And all of those are free and open to the public. So if you go to our Thomistic Institute website, see if there's a chapter near you and look at what their lectures are putting on there. And if you can't go to a lecture, we have a very popular podcast that will get over 5 million listens a year. Feel free to tune into the Thomistic Institute podcast to hear the great lectures being given throughout the world.
Wow, that's wonderful. So again, how do we go to the website? How can we sign up? Can we sign up for the newsletter? Can we sign up to be part of the website? How does that work?
So the Aquinas 101 website, you sign up to enter into it, and then you can sign up or opt out of emails. You can also go to the Thomistic Institute website and sign up for an independent newsletter, which is different than what we're doing on the website, but that'll give you more information about what the Thomistic Institute is doing in general.
That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. Anything else you want to share? We got about a minute left with you.
Well, you know, I would say that some of the videos, especially the philosophical videos, might look a little bit strange and uninteresting, but they're also really helpful, right? So you're looking to say, well, why do I need to know what the difference between essence and existence is? Or why do I need to know what form and matter are? But, you know, the philosophical stuff is really helpful to get a basis, because St. Thomas will use that in explaining the theology. And we try to make sure that the philosophy is easy to access and usable for you in coming to understand the faith. And then also I would encourage everybody to continue to study, because in coming to know God, we can come to love him better.
Amen. Father Ambrose Little, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful.
God bless you. Aquinas 101. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, Melissa Henson will be joining us, Vice President of the Parents Television and Media Council. We'll be right back after this.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says that we are called to light up the pathways of this earth by being sowers of peace and joy. This comes from being aware that we are sons and daughters of God. On the road of life, though, we find dangers, but God walks with us every step of our life, pouring out the gifts of His Holy Spirit upon us. Our Lady is our companion, like GPS in our car, connected to the cloud and bringing the latest updates to help us navigate our journey and get out of traffic on the way to the eternal kingdom. We don't want to get into family fights on our way to God's vacation destination, but we should be the sowers of peace and joy. We shouldn't accept substitutes, accept only the authentic identity of being His children, His sons and daughters. Let's grow in happiness and bring peace to those around us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's looking back at you at age 22? What do you hope to say about that child at age 22? If you're content to say, well, the way kids are turning out nowadays, counting my blessings. Parole officer says one of the nicest children he has. Or would you rather say he's 1 in 100, morals, compassion, seeks God? Are you prepared to be a 1 in 100 parent then? You can't parent like the bulk of parents anymore. You will supervise far higher. You will screen out toxic media sewage at a rate unlike all of your friends, perhaps your family. No guarantees as to what will be looking back at you at age 22. But you want to be able to say, I think he's 1 in 100, then you be a 1 in 100 parent.
And we're back here on Catholic Connection talking about social media harms threatening children. Congress needs to pass online child protection bills. And to talk with us about that is our next guest, Vice President of Parent Television and Media Council, Melissa Henson. Thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
So tell us about the social media harms and what you're proposing in terms of bills for protecting children.
Yeah, well, right now we have in front of Congress the Kids Online Safety Act and the Children and Teens Online Privacy Protection Act. Now, both of those pieces of legislation were already passed in the Senate. In fact, they were sort of combined into one joint bill that was the Kids Online Safety and Privacy Protection Act. But it passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. I think they had like 93 votes at the end of the day. I think there were only three senators that voted against it. And yet it seems to have stalled out in Congress, unfortunately, because I think, you know, big tech companies like Google and Meta have been spending a lot of money on lobbyists to try to block this legislation, which is really unfortunate. There's been a lot of fear-mongering, certainly. You know, the lobbyists are telling our representatives that this will squelch political expression or unpopular ideas, which is not what this bill is about at all. It's about keeping kids safe online, protecting them from predatory behavior, protecting them from sextortion, from content that is encouraging them to become bulimic or anorexic, or content that's encouraging suicide. That's what this legislation is really about.
And where is it? Like, tell us the process. Is it been officially introduced?
Yeah, it was introduced, and it passed out of committee right before, I guess that was probably sometime in September or maybe early October, it passed out of committee. So right now, the next thing that needs to happen is it just needs to be brought to the floor for a vote by the entire House of Representatives. And then it'll go into a conference, and then they'll work out a bill that will be voted on by both chambers. But right now, we just need to encourage Mike Johnson to bring it to the floor for a vote.
And what can we do as listeners? Is there any kind of encouragement people can do to write to him? What can they do?
Yeah, certainly. You can reach out to the Speaker's office, or you can reach out to your own representative in Congress and just tell them that we really need to get this bill passed this legislative session before Congress recesses, because, you know, the clock is ticking, right? The new Congress is going to be sworn in on January 3rd, and then the whole process starts all over.
So give us more of a background. I know you alluded to some of the issues that you want to protect children from, but can you expand on them? And what are some of the most alarming issues that parents listening today should be aware of that could be infiltrating our, you know, children's lives through social media?
Yeah, well, you know, folks, I think, are becoming more aware of TikTok and some of the problems associated with TikTok. I think a lot of the conversation with TikTok revolves around national security concerns. But what parents may not be aware of is that TikTok had its own internal investigation. And there were a number of attorneys general. A bunch of states have filed lawsuits against TikTok because of how addictive the platform is. But in the course of this investigation, they found that TikTok was aware that teens as young as 15 were being paid to strip for adults live on TikTok.
Oh my God.
They were aware that this was going on, and they did nothing to stop it. TikTok knows exactly how many reels it takes for a teenager to become addicted to the platform. And I think the number is something like 265 or something like that. So in less than 30 minutes, a kid can become completely addicted to TikTok. Mm-hmm. They know this, and they've done nothing to mitigate the harm or to limit the ability to reach younger audiences. They actively encourage pre-adolescent and adolescent kids to sign up for this platform. They're doing little to nothing to protect kids from the harmful content that's so widely available.
Mm-hmm. What can we do as parents? Is it monitoring it? Is it limiting? I mean, you know, a lot of parents feel challenged by it because every kid's on TikTok. I mean, what's the advice to parents today?
Yeah, and it is challenging because no parent wants to feel like they're denying their child something that all their friends are allowed to do. But I think in the best interest of our kids' health and safety and mental well-being, we really do need to delay getting them on smartphones for as long as possible. There's an organization out there that says wait until 8. I would say wait until even later. Wait until they're 16. because the longer you can delay getting your child on a smartphone, the better their mental health outcomes are going to be in the long run. But beyond that, also really try to find healthy outlets for their extra time so that they're not just scrolling through social media feeds with every, you know, spare moment that they have in the day. Try to keep them busy, try to keep them active, and try to keep them engaged in spaces where they're interacting with real people and not just, you know, chronically online.
Yeah, gosh, 8 seems quite young. I mean, to get people, kids on TikTok. I mean, and there's a lot of research, as you know, Melissa Henson, is that they groom children at a younger age, especially for sexual exploitation. And then these are also platforms predators use to lure children into human trafficking and other, you know, scary things that they engage children in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some of the most heartbreaking stories that have come out during Senate and congressional hearings on these kids online safety bills. You know, there was a teenage boy. He was, you know, popular. He was a school athlete. And he started communicating with somebody on Instagram that he thought was a young woman who was attracted to him. And this person that he was talking to encouraged him to send, you know, compromising photos of himself. He did. It turned out that the person on the other end was not a young woman, but a Nigerian scammer who tried to extort money out of him. And he paid the money, and they kept demanding more and more and more until finally he felt like there was no way out except to kill himself. And that's what he did. And we're hearing stories like this all over the place. And, you know, kids are in some ways very technologically savvy, but in other ways very naive. And they're being taken advantage of, and it's tragic.
That's a horrific story. And, you know, we know, Melissa, that a child's brain, a human brain, doesn't develop till you're about 25 years old. So they lack reasoning. You know, the frontal cortex part of the brain is not fully developed. And so they don't make the right decisions, best judgment on these issues. And that poor kid, you know, when he got to be 25, he'll probably realize, you know, he's able to have these thought processes more maturely. You know what I mean? And he would have spared his life. It's really, really sad how they're targeting these children. What about the conversations parents need to have with their kids about these issues? And I can't believe how many kids send nude photographs online. I mean, you hear these stories all the time, especially among teenagers.
Yeah, I think probably that the number one message that we need to be drilling into our kids' minds is that everything that you do online lives forever.
Yeah.
Even if you think you've deleted it, even if you think you've, you know, removed your account, everything you do online lives forever. And if you send something to somebody, there's a good likelihood that someone out there has screen captured it or screenshot it, that it's stored on somebody's phone or device, and that it's gonna get leaked out. It's gonna circulate. You know, somebody once said to me, "You don't put anything in an email that you wouldn't want to see printed on the front page of the Washington Post."
Yes.
And I tell my son that all the time. You have to be very, very careful with what you do online.
Yeah. Melissa, we have about a minute left with you here on Catholic Connection. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
Yeah, I just really encourage folks to reach out to your representatives in Congress and ask them to get this bill done during this Congress before they end this legislative session. Because, like I said, on January 3rd, with the new Congress, we have to start the whole process over again. So make those calls, reach out to your representatives and ask them to do something to help protect our kids online.
All right. Melissa Henson, Vice President of Parents Television Media Council. Thank you for being with us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you.
Gail Buckley Berenger will be joining us. It is a Monday. That means we get the Catholic Biblical Scripture Verse of the Week from the Catholic Scripture Study International. So Gail Buckley Berenger will be sharing with us the Scripture Verse of the Week that we can meditate on throughout the whole week. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back after the break.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is sponsored by House of Joppa. House of Joppa's mission is to share the beauty of our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith in our homes through Catholic home decor, art, candles, statues, rosaries, and Catholic jewelry. They're gifts designed to help you live out your Catholic faith. For more information, go to houseofjoppa.com. That's houseofjoppa, J-O-P-P-A.com.
More of Catholic Connection coming up on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio.
Monday here on Catholic Connection, and that means Gail Buckley-Berenger joins us with the Catholic Scripture Study International with the Bible verse of the week. Gail, how are you today on this Monday?
I'm great, thank you, Vanessa.
So yes, let's
go ahead. Okay, I was just going to say our verse today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And as you and I were talking earlier, Vanessa, I chose this verse because Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and I'm not going to be here next week, so I figured I would do this verse today about Thanksgiving. So, you know, in this verse, Paul encourages believers to give thanks in all circumstances. But notice that he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. And I think that's an important distinction, because we're not expected to be thankful in, you know, for pain or loss or difficulty, but Paul calls us to find ways to be thankful during every season of life, knowing that God's presence and purposes are with us, even in challenging times. And so, you know, thankfulness is I think it's more than just a fleeting feeling. It's a posture, you know, it's a posture of the heart. And by that, I think I mean, you know, practicing gratitude regularly, you know, it reshapes how we see the world, you know, instead of focusing on what's lacking or what's going wrong, gratitude helps us to recognize God's blessings in our lives. And, you know, I don't mean that we ignore hardships, you know, but we should actively look for reasons to thank God, even, you know, when we have trials. Gratitude becomes a lens through which we view life, you know, mm-hmm. helping us to see God's hand in all things. Mm-hmm. And it's not always easy, you know, to do that, but practicing this way, you know, I think, you know, definitely helps. And, you know, thanking God in every situation is also an expression of trust. You know, life mm-hmm. may bring situations that are confusing or painful, you know, unexpected, like, you know, Trump getting elected. I'm sure that was very unexpected for for the Democrats, and, you know, and a lot of them are very upset. But, you know, gratitude, you know, acknowledges that even if we don't understand why certain things happen, we trust mm-hmm. that God is working behind the scenes for our good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a way of saying, Lord, I don't believe, you know, I don't have all the answers, but I trust you. And Paul's instruction in our verse today, you know, reminds us that gratitude is a part of God's will for us as believers. You know, Thanksgiving is not limited just a day on the calendar, but it's a lifestyle that brings us closer to God and fills our lives with joy and peace. And I think this Thanksgiving, you know, we should remember that we can give thanks, you know, not just in easy times, but in every situation, you know, every circumstance. Yeah. Trusting that God is always with us and providing blessings and working for our good. You know, gratitude helps us experience life more fully. And So this Thanksgiving, you know, I hope we all find reasons to be grateful and make thankfulness a constant part of our walk with God.
You know, and I think it's really important to meditate on this particular Bible verse that you're sharing with us today from Thessalonians as we head into our family Thanksgiving, because there's been so much talk about in the secular media, legacy media, social media, not to get together with family members who voted for Trump.
Right.
And it's really, really, really not coming from a Christ-centered place. That's so evil and demonic to promote divide within a family. So I think this is a great opportunity to meditate on this Bible verse, Gail, as we head into Thanksgiving.
It really is, Vanessa. You know, I'm going into a situation like that. My son and daughter-in-law, who were staying with them over Thanksgiving and spending time with them at Thanksgiving, they are Democrats, and they're very upset about the election. But, you know, I'm hoping that they'll put aside that and we won't talk politics and we'll just be thankful and, you know, and use this sense of gratitude to God and be that way and hope it'll rub off on them as well, or they'll feel the same way. I hope it's not going to be awkward.
Well, you know, I think that's a really good point, too. Take this to prayer and ask the Lord to guide, to be there, to mend the, you know, you know, bring the family to unity, and maybe really meditate on this scripture about how you could be that instrument of peace, you know what I mean, within your family. You know, the devil wants to divide us, right, Gail? And it's the Lord that wants to unite us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, Mike Aquilina sends his guardian angel to his wife or his children to his, you know, to talk to their guardian angel to settle things. And so what I'll do, even though my children don't believe in guardian angels like I do, I'll send my guardian angel to theirs to maybe help the situation before we get there.
Amen.
I think that's a great thing to do.
Gail Buckley Barringer, always a pleasure to talk with you from the Catholic Scripture Study International with the Bible Verse of the Week. I posted her Bible verse on my X handle. Have a blessed day. Great filling in for Teresa Tommy. She'll be back in the host here tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.